being in the presence of God is perhaps the greatest privilege and blessing that we will know this side of heaven. And I trust this morning that you are there with me, sitting at the feet of Jesus today and allowing him to speak. Because if he's in the room, I've got nothing to say. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter 4:10. This is our second in a series on spiritual gifts. This verse happens to be my call to ministry, which I've shared the story with you several times. I won't share it again this morning, but just let me read the scripture for us today. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. The Apostle Peter is preparing the church for the last days. Back then, 20 centuries ago, they really believed that Jesus was coming again within their lifetime. And there was an urgency such was felt that we sometimes feel, but then, you know, life gets back to normal and the daily routine grinds on and we forget to prioritize the things that are really important, because after all, urgency demands our attention. And when that happens, even good things can rival for the attention of the best things. The Apostle Peter is writing, communicating in this sense that the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. I want you to think about this morning the reality that Jesus may come back before this sermon is over. Wouldn't that be amazing? You're in the right place at the right time, letting God speak this morning, letting him share with you his will and work for your life. The series is entitled Your True Identity, and it has a lot to do with the fact that sometimes we can be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and still not really know why it is and who it is that God has created us to be. It's like having a toolbox and going to Sears and buying every tool and then bringing it home and then polishing the tools and never learning what the tools are made for until, you know, we get to this point and begin to learn what it is that we have been fit perfectly to do. Amen? I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're not there, if you haven't found your spiritual gifts, if you haven't discovered them, I want to tell you that it's the most fulfilling thing that you'll probably ever do in your life, in that your life will have purpose like never before. We've got three little things here I just want to share as we get rolling this morning about spiritual gifts. Number one, they identify our role in the body of Christ. Did you know that the Apostle Paul uses the illustration that the body, the church, is the body of Christ? And he doesn't just stop there. He goes on, and he talks about the different parts of the body. They fulfill different functions. They're created differently with great diversity, but every single one of the parts of the body work together in following the orders from the head that is Christ. And when the body works together, there is a synergy that happens that cannot otherwise be known outside the church. Amen? I want to tell you this morning that the worship team was struggling a little bit and we were missing some of the highs, and we prayed and we asked God to help us, and we all three of us affirm that we are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bill prayed earlier, I hope it's okay, Bill, that I share. He says, we're praying here, and he says, Lord, don't let us fill this place with Bill. Don't let us fill this place with John. Don't let us fill this place with Steve. May this place be filled with Jesus. Amen. And when we get there, all of a sudden, and we begin to share each other's roles, and we begin to say, I didn't do so good on that one. Would you take this one? Would you take that lead, and I'll take that chorus? And all of a sudden, what looked like a train wreck was getting ready to happen. Begin to melt together in harmony. And that happens in a church, not just with the worship team, but it happens with the trustees, it happens with the stewards, it happens with the nursery workers, it happens with the children's workers, it happens with every one of us when we step back and allow ourselves to be servants. All of a sudden, Jesus says, I can bless that. You are my body when you serve each other. You are my body when you see the world as I see it. The second thing about spiritual gifts is that they equip and empower us for service. They are tools for building the church. Not just building the administrative part of the church, not just building a building, not just building in numbers, not just building an infrastructure, but building the body of Christ. Cell multiplication. The growing body of Christ continues to multiply throughout the world. Number three, spiritual gifts focus our energy for effectiveness. When you know what you've been created to do, it's like using the perfect tool for the perfect job. Amen? Some of you can relate to that. Steve, you can probably get that. It's frustrating when you try to use the wrong tool for a job. But when you get that right tool, amen, Josh, when you find that perfect tool that's bent just the right way, and you can get down in there, and it's got a kink in it, and it's got a curve in it, and it still moves, and it still works, and that perfect tool is made for just that job, and all of a sudden that whole project just begins to move. Amen. And the church, as we consent to this process of agreeing with God and allowing Him to reveal in us what He has created us to do, creates synergy like we will not otherwise known. Your gift that God has given you, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Your gift, my gift, is a divine calling. That's why it's important for you to know what your gift is. Amen. It's a divine calling with a divine responsibility. I don't want to get all the way to heaven and make it across the finish line, and Jesus said, I'm saving you. But you just missed the whole point. I love you, and you've asked me to forgive you of your sins, and I have. I gave my blood for you, and I'm happy to welcome you into the kingdom, but you just... You just run around in circles. I couldn't get anything done with you. I gave you all these resources. I gave you all of these tools. I gave you all the community to work with. And you just kind of ran around, did your own thing. I love you. I love you, but you kind of missed the point. Oh, God, help us. Well, you know, Tia, our little dog, has some spiritual gifts. I don't know if you can see her there or not. It's kind of a bleached out picture. But, you know, she's a little dog. She's about this tall, and her legs are about this tall, about that long. And so she's got her legs all the way curled. She's an expert napper. That's one of her gifts. She's an expert guard dog. I'm telling you, nobody gets on the porch when Tia's on the porch on our lap. She's an expert lap dog, speaking of laps. Oh, can she soak up a lap? I'm telling you. But she's not very good at getting shots. Earlier that day, she got a shot in both hindquarters, and it was just a terrible night. She laid like that. Whatever that is, she did that all night. She couldn't lay down, all face down. It's yoga. It's a yoga move, okay. She just looked pathetic. But what Tia loves to do more than anything in the world is go camping. She will not. If she gets a whiff of diesel fuel, she will not let me a foot away from her. If she gets a sense that we're getting ready to go camping, I'm telling you, she is going to go. In fact, when we go in October and we're going to get the diesel out, and she's not going to get to go. I feel bad because Tia loves to go camping. And we're going to have to kind of slip away. See, Tia's going to have to be at Grandma's and Grandpa's, and then we're going to have to drive away into the night in the RV, and Tia is just going to be completely bummed out. I'm telling you, if she sees the RV, she will whine for a week. Just whine around the house. And if I get out on the porch, she's right there by my leg. She doesn't care if she gets stuck in the door. She's going to be with me. She'll do anything not to miss it. And she feels like she's missing out if she doesn't get to do it. Can you hear me all the way back? And I know, maybe taking this a little far, but she was created to camp. She knows it. She loves it. Jeanette's dad, Paul, we miss him. Passed away in May. Used to have bird dogs. In fact, when Alyssa was younger, it's okay if I tell this. Okay. Alyssa was younger, Grandpa would say, okay, Alyssa, let's go out and feed the bird dogs. And Alyssa would go out and with him and feed the bird dogs. And she thought that a bird dog ought to be able to fly. Why else would you call them bird dogs, right? Well, that was a couple years ago. But, anyway, you don't have to teach a puppy pointer to point. It's a beautiful thing. We've taken a few little puppies out, you know, with their moms when I used to go quail hunting with my father-in-law, Paul. And, you know, they were adolescent pups. But, boy, when they sniffed out a quail, I'm like, who taught you that? It's what I'm born to do. You don't have to teach a baby duck to swim. Now, they'll get better at it as they get older. But they take to water, well, like a duck takes to water. Amen? It's so important to find what you were born to do and do it. After Peter, after his denial of Christ, you remember that? He had to wonder if there was a place for him in the church. You remember Jesus said before the rooster crows three times, one of you will deny me, and Peter said, no, I won't. It won't be me. Then the rooster, you know, later started to crow, and Peter started denying, and Peter got really defeated really quick. And he had to wonder, since I have failed so spectacularly, is there a place for me to serve? But right away after Peter is reinstated at the end of the book of John, you remember where Jesus is calling them together and he gets Peter by himself and he says, Peter, he says, do you love me? You see, what Jesus was doing was giving him the spiritual gifts test here. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And Peter was offended that the Lord would ask him one more time. But Jesus kept on drilling down with the spiritual gift test. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said one more time, feed my sheep. That's in John 21, 15 through 22. The next chapter in the life of Christ is called the Book of Acts. Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected and ascended. Then we come to the book of Acts. And this former bumbling, foot in the mouth, Peter, begins to find his true calling. Now, you might want to turn to the last chapter of the book of John and then find the next page is the letter of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. And let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. You're going to love this. Let's remember where Peter is. He's just been reinstated. He just took a spiritual gift survey by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still got the spectacular failure in the back of his mind, and Jesus kept saying, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives. The Sabbath day walked from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. Peter is mentioned as being present. I just got to pause right here and say attendance is so important. Amen. When you're present, you're connected to the body. When you're not present, you're disconnected from the body. Attendance is so important. If you miss, you may just miss the filling that God has for you today. You'll miss practicing and understanding your role in the body. You'll miss being a blessing to someone who is needing you just to be there for them. If you look there, chapter 1, verse 15. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus with his brothers. In those days, here's bumbling, foot in the mouth, Peter just received a spiritual gift survey. Jesus kept on drilling down. And he just felt like he needed to stand up and say something. And he stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. And he begins to preach. He who would have nothing to say because of his spectacular failures, Jesus decided to put a word in his mouth to feed the sheep. Amen. Peter stands and preaches. And then again in verse 20, Peter starts to preach. Oh, you just got to go there. Acts chapter 1, verses 15. Then again, verse 20. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches the gospel in a language that he hadn't learned, but God gave him the ability to preach in order to reach the people that were there from all over the world so that everybody that came and spoke a different language could hear the wonders of God in their own language. And Peter was the preacher. Peter preaches again in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And then he begins in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He continues to lead the disciples, the new people that had come into baptism. Do you see what had happened? Acts chapter 3, and let's look at verses 1 through 10. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, and at 3 in the afternoon, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as John did, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. You see what's happened? Peter moved from an insecure, foot-in-the-mouth, impulsive, sword-wielding rebel to a present, spirit-filled shepherd, pastor, humble preacher who is willing to give his all to do what Christ had called him to do. A duck will not know true fulfillment in a pen full of nice, clean straw. A bird dog will not be able to practice his true calling on a leash. So are also the gifts of the Spirit. Some are not discovered until they are realized and cannot be utilized until they are unwrapped in the body of Christ, the church. So the discovery and use of our spiritual gifts continue. Tracy sent me the results of her spiritual gifts survey this week, serving and giving. We can certainly see that in you. Lisa and Mike sent me the results of their spiritual gifts surveys this week. Pastor Shepherd, showing mercy. Both of them are gifted right there, showing mercy, and Pastor Shepherd. Mark's gifted at serving and giving. Deb's gifted at faith, giving, and serving. Last week we began to look at 1 Peter 4:10 closely to see how each of us is responsible to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. We talked about the fact that Peter said, whatever gift you have received, whatever gift, each one should use it. Amen? In your bulletin, you'll see the website where I'd like to encourage you to go and take, it's about 107 questions, I think, and have an email address handy. Jason took it and realized that he needed an email address. That's a lot of questions to answer and not have an email address, so have it. And then you'll get an email back with your the results of your spiritual gift survey. Click on the one that says gift analysis for individual users. This is a team gift survey. There's many others, but this is a good input into our understanding of how God has gifted us. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I'd like to focus in for just the last few minutes this morning on serving others. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. To serve others. I'd like to read a couple of the listings of spiritual gifts from the Word of God this morning. The first one is Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And then, so what we have here are several spiritual gifts that you may be really gifted at, or the person next to you may be really gifted at. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. The second list of spiritual gifts is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Here again, the Apostle Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives each to them, each to each one as He determines. So we have here word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then we have a list of faith gifts, beginning with healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. To serve others. To serve others. To serve others. Jesus taught us how to serve others by showing us the priority that he had for others. Coming in for a landing here, John 13, verses 1 through 5. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved those, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Perhaps you remember this interaction, because it, as the scripture continues to unfold there, we see that Jesus has an interaction with one particular disciple. It's Peter again. Peter's the one who jumps in the water first. He's the one who opens his mouth first. He's the one who gets embarrassed first. He's the one who puts his foot in his mouth first. He does it again. And Jesus coming around the disciples, and he's washing their feet, and Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Unless I wash your feet, you can have nothing to do with me." Then Peter says, "Well, then, don't just wash my feet. Wash my head and my hands and my feet as well." Bless Peter. And all the other disciples are like, "Peter, just sit down." Let's look at verses 13, or chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "You understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also go and wash one another's feet." I have set you as an example that you should do as I've done for you. This is the gospel. "I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." While some of us will be gifted stronger in some areas than others, we will all share the essence of living a life as a servant of others if we are a follower of Jesus Christ. We will be known by our love. We will be known as a servant, because that's how Jesus has taught us, by example. This is what Jesus taught this diverse group of disciples who were all over the place in regards to their temperaments, their personalities, their strengths, their weaknesses. He says the one common identifying characteristic that you will be known for is love and service. So, a few years later, the Apostle Peter remembers all these things. And he sits down to write the early church. He remembers all the things that Jesus taught him. He remembers putting up a fuss when Jesus was trying to wash his feet. He remembers his denials. He remembers the spiritual gift survey that Jesus sat down with him on the bank of that lake and just drilled it in. He sits down and writes the early church that in the light that the Lord's coming is near, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Because Jesus taught us that. Amen. Have you found that thing that you are gifted at that comes as natural to you as a bird to flight? As natural as camping to Tia? That thing that Jesus uses in you to reach the world for Him. Here's where we begin. First, we must agree with Jesus that to be a follower of Jesus is to be a servant. And to be willing to be used as a member of His body. If you've not yet taken your spiritual gifts survey, I highly encourage you to do so, so that we can increase in synergy. Amen. Some of you may know your spiritual gifts, and that's okay. It's not something that's mandatory. I just want to offer you the opportunity not to miss what God wants to do in and through you. Amen. Let's pray together. Worship team, would you come on up? Jesus, we thank you that we are able to be connected, that we are able to be brought into your body, that we have been adopted as sons and daughters into your family, that we have been engrafted in, that we have been given a role and responsibility, that we have been given a calling. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to explore what it is that you are calling us to do and who you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. We thank you for drilling down. I just would believe this morning that there are some here today that their hearts are beating and they can feel it in their throat because they're excited. Excited about the future, maybe a little scared, but also so excited because this is the Word of God speaking. This is Jesus walking among us. This is Jesus welcoming us in. This is Jesus giving us a place at the table. This is Jesus washing our feet. This is Jesus sharing His Word with us. This is God Himself showing us the true priorities of His heart. Thank you, Jesus. We praise You. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, what it is when your family's working together and you're all going in the same direction, you all got the same goals. And we call that synergy, because you're not struggling with each other. Oh, you're all different, but you're not trying to pull it to different corners of the globe. Mm-hmm. You're all going in the same direction. And that's what the Holy Spirit has for us as His church, that we're all pulling in the same direction. Let's stand together.
From the heavens. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Lord, you have assigned me the portion in my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Amen. You guys are dismissed. God bless.